Slavery. Slavery is a terrible evil in mankind. You know, we had a war here that Abraham Lincoln blamed on slavery. The war was not over slavery. He finally had to have an excuse for killing 750,000 people and started pounding the beating on the drum of slavery to do it. The United States probably would peaceably have done away with slavery within a few years at that time. Yet slavery wasn't over. The people in the North, there's white slavery that was still indentured servants all over the place. And the black people were dumped out on society without jobs, and it was a horrible thing, the reconstruction of the South and everything. It was a horrible story. Slavery has always been a horrible crime against humanity. My great-great-great-great-great-great uncle, John Paul Jones, his name was really John Paul, the father of the American Navy, was an indentured servant. Benjamin Franklin was an indentured servant, a slave. Andrew Johnson was an indentured servant, a slave, and he ran away. Benjamin Franklin ran away from slavery. He was also an indentured servant or a slave. We see all of this in society. We see Hagar in the Old Testament was a slave. She was a princess, and then she became a slave. That's really a drop in society right there. And then when Abraham married her, and she had a child, Sarah said, get rid of her and the child both. Sarah means contentious, remember. Hagar was to be Abraham's political alliance wife with Pharaoh. And he made her a slave. And then after she had the child was up 14 years old or so, he was dumped off out in the desert to die. A slave. Yet we know that God blessed Ishmael because of Abraham. And he had 12 sons. 12 princes came from him. Well, here we have the favorite child of a family, Joseph. Jacob's favorite son. He obeyed him. And he loved him because he was from the wife that he loved. I did a message here a while back, the evil and problems that multiple marriages and polygamy causes. Jealousy, rivalry, and sometimes murder. That's exactly what's happening here now. All of these boys, Jacob wanted one wife. He spent 7 years slaving for Rachel, and then Laban dumps Leah on him and her concubine or daughter or slave, and then he works over 20 years slaving. And Laban didn't want to give him any wife. He said, those are my daughters, my children, my flocks. No, we worked for him. And now we come in to Jacob's son, Joseph, the pride of his life, the light of his life, and now he's taken from him and turned into a slave. But God is going to intervene. God is going to intervene. And it came about at that time that Judah departed from his brothers and visited a certain Adullamite, whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite, whose name was Shua. And he took her and went into her. And she conceived and bore him a son, and he named him Ur. Then she conceived again and bore a son and named him Onan. All right. And she bore still another son, and she named him Shelah. And it was at Chizeb that she bore to him. Now, I want you to see this story. This is the story. Now, we have Joseph. We have Joseph going into Egypt. And Joseph in Egypt, in the worst conditions that he can possibly live in, is a righteous son. And Judah, the lion of the tribe of Judah, is a total different character. Ur means enmity, and it also means one who watches and spies, a spy. And Onan means strength. And Judas said to Onan, Judas firstborn was evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord took his life. Oh, wait, let's go back up. I skipped a couple of verses. And she bore still another son to him and named him Shelah. All right. Shelah means peace. And it was at Chezeb that she bore him. And Judah took a wife for his firstborn, and his name was Tamar. This is a beautiful woman. Tamar means what? Palm, statuesque, palm tree, like a palm tree. A beautiful woman. But Judah's firstborn, was evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord took his life. Killed him. Then Judah said to Onan, Onan means iniquity or sin. Slavery and strength all bore into one. Go into your brother's wife and perform your duty as a brother-in-law to her and raise up offspring for your brother. This is the commandment of God. Now, that's God had it later on, as we would receive the law, this was a, and this, and the law of Hammurabi and Qumrabi, both of these all said if a son or if a man dies, that his brother is supposed to take his wife and raise up seed in name of not him but his brother. And Onan knew that his offspring would not be his. It's going to be his brother's. So it came about that when he went into his brother's wife, he withdrew. This is what you call coitus interruptus. Right when he was about to spew his seed, he pulls out of this woman and spews his seed on the ground in order not to give offspring to his brother. Now, God hated this. Now, there is an old adage here that comes from this. It is better to spew thy seed into a belly of a whore than to spew it on the ground. And that's where this comes from. That is an old saying. Onan knew that in his selfishness, he knew that offspring would not be his. And by the way, these are pagans. Pagans. And God is going to readjust the whole lineage here. He's going to readjust the lineage. And Onan knew that his offspring would not be his, so he came about that when he went into his brother's wife, he wasted his seed on the ground in order not to give offspring to his brother. But what he did was displeasing to the sight of the Lord, and the Lord killed him. Then Judah said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, remain a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up. For he thought, I am afraid that he too may die just like his brothers. He didn't want his last son to die. So Tamar went and lived in her father's house. In other words, now she was a widow twice, a double widow. And now Judah is not going to take care of her. He's not going to support her. The son that he had and the two homes that the sons that he had should have been hers. And she should have had servants and she should have had a livelihood. But he sends her back home. Now, after a considerable time, Shua's daughter, the wife of Judah, died. And when the time of mourning was ended, Judah went up to his sheep shearers in Timnah, and he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, "Behold, your father-in-law is going to go up to Timnah to shear his sheep." So she removed her widow's garments. She knows that he is not going to give her that boy. He's old enough now. The boy can produce seed, and he should have raised seed up to his brother. But his father didn't allow that. He's deceitful. She put away her widow's garments and covered herself with a veil, and wrapped herself and set in a gateway to Enaim, which is on the road to Timnah, for she saw that Shelah had grown up. And she had not been given him as a wife. And when Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot. He thought that she was a temple prostitute. For she had covered her face. So he turned aside to her by the road and said, "Here now, let me have sexual relationship with you." For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, "What will you give me that you may have sexual relationships with me?"
A young colt.
Now, we've got a contrast between Joseph, a type of Jesus, and we got and Judah, a type of the world. And he said, "Therefore, I will send you a kid from the. I will send you one of the young goats from the flock." And she said, "Will you give me a pledge until you send it? What do I get until you send it?" And he said, "What pledge shall I give you?" And she said, "Your seal and your cord, your seal and your belt, and your staff that is in your hand." So he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. This was God's order. That woman knew what she was doing. God would use her to put her in the lineage of Jesus the Christ. And Judah will do this unknowingly. Then she arose and departed and removed her veil and put on her widow's garments. When Judah sent the kid by his friend Adullamite to receive the pledge from the woman's hand, he did not find her. And he asked the men of the place, saying, "Where is the temple prostitute?" He thought he was working with a temple prostitute, and this was a pagan who was by the road in Enaim. But they said, "There has been no temple prostitute here." So he returned to Judah and said, "I did not find her." And furthermore, the men of the place said, "There has been no temple prostitute there." Then Judah said, "Let her keep them, lest we become a laughing stock. After all, I sent this kid, but you did not find her. I did what I was supposed to do." Now, it was about 3 months later that Judah was informed that your daughter-in-law, Tamar, has played the harlot, and behold, she is with child by harlotry. Now, she's with twins, and she's showing. Then Judah said, "Bring her out, and let her be burned." Burned. Boy, this is a real severe punishment. What they would do, they would take her out to a toilet, to a place where they threw body waste in this hole in the ground. They're going to put her out there in front of that hole in the ground, or behind it. They're going to pull her arms out. They're going to stick a petroleum saturated wick down her throat and they're going to set it on fire and watch her burn to death and then throw her in the septic tank, so to speak. This is what happened. You know, there's three ways of killing, executing people in Israel. One of them was by beheading, the other one was by stoning, and the other one was by burning. And it was while she was being brought out that she sent to her father-in-law, saying, "I am with child by the man to whom these things belong." And he said, "Please examine and see whose signet ring and cords and staff these are." And Judah recognized them and said, you know, he didn't even see her face. All he saw was her intimate body parts. That's all. He didn't see her face. "Please examine and see whose signet ring and cord, belt, and staff these are." And Judah recognized them and said, "She is more righteous than I am, inasmuch as I did not give to her to my son Shelah." And he did not have relationship with her ever again. And it came about at the time she was giving birth that, behold, there were twins in her womb. How many times do we have twins born in the Bible? And we always have what? The rejection of the firstborn, isn't it? Moreover, it took place that she was giving birth. One put out his hand, and the midwife took and tied a scarlet thread to it on his hand, saying, "This is the one that came out first." And it came about as he drew back his hand that, behold, his brother came out. This is just like Esau and Jacob, isn't it? But it came about as he drew back his hand that, behold, his brother came out. And then she said, "What a breach you have made for yourself." So she named him Perez, a breach. And afterward, the brother came out, who had the scarlet thread on his hand, and his name was Zerah. Dawning brightness. What a story. Now let's go to the New Testament for just a moment. In the book of Katamathion, Matthew, the first chapter. Now, this is the kingly lineage of Jesus. This is the kingly lineage. The physical lineage of Jesus is the book of Luke. Now, let's go down here and read. "Abraham was born Isaac, Isaac was born Jacob, and to Jacob was born Judah and his brothers. And Judah were born Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And to Perez was born Hezron, and to Hezron Ram. And to Ram was born Amminadab, and Amminadab was born Nahshon, and Nahshon Salmon. And Salmon was born by Boaz, by Rahab." Rahab the harlot. Boaz, Rahab's son, was Boaz. "And to Boaz was born Obed by Ruth." Two Canaanites, what we might call pagans, were in the lineage of Jesus. "And to Obed Jesse. And to Jesse was born David the king." And then it goes on all the way down here. "And to Jacob," in verse 16, "was born Joseph, the son of the husband of Mary, by whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ." Now go on over to Luke for just a moment. Luke chapter number 3. "And when Jesus began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being supposedly the son of Joseph, the son of Eli." Okay? Supposedly. Now, here is Mary's lineage. Now let's go on down here. In verse number 31, the son of Meli, the son of Menna, the son of Matthiah, the son of Nathair, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nahshon, the son of Aminadab, the son of Admin, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez. Here we go, right back to this deal, that Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. Here we have this child. This is literally Jesus descended here. Perez. And over here, go back here again to the 38th chapter. But it came about that he drew his hand back, that behold, his brother came out. And she said, what a breach you have made for yourself, Perez. Perez is the second child, literally. The father in lineage to Jesus the Christ. For when the fullness had come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem those that are under the law. And that's you and me, people. Have you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul? Have you believed in his blood? Have you repented of your sins? Have you become a new person? Has Jesus Christ come into your life? Is he in all of your decisions that you make? We are sons of God now, children of God, daughters of God, because Jesus Christ came into this world a slave. Jesus was a slave for you and me. Jesus knew what it was like to be a slave. He didn't live for himself. He didn't eat for himself. He didn't sleep for himself. He did that for you and me. The evils of slavery, Jesus partook of because he was a slave. He did the will of his Father, the will of his Master, so to speak, that he might save us. 1 John 2:2. For he is our atonement, and not for our sins only, but for the whole world. Jesus Christ dying for all mankind. All mankind are not covered by his blood, only those that believe. And then it is efficacious to them individually, each and every one. Our Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for your word. We thank you for our Savior. And even back looking in your words, we see all of the evils, all the craziness going on there. And we know that you're in the middle of all of it, guiding things the way it's supposed to be. In Jesus' name we pray and ask you to use your word. Amen.